sir. All right, we'll be in Proverbs chapter 3 this morning. And as you get the notes or the outline for Proverbs 3 and you look at the front and the back, let me say this. We are in no hurry. I'm not going to try to get through half of this lesson this morning so we can do the other half next time. Sometimes we get so busy trying to keep a certain pace that we go too fast. And so this morning, I don't know how far we'll get. If we get to the bottom of the page, it's fine. I have a sneaking suspicion we won't. But we will take our time getting through Proverbs chapter 3. If God were to ask you, ask for anything you want and I'll give it to you, what would you ask for? You know, we always hear the jokes about the rubbing the Aladdin's lamp and the genie comes out and gives you three wishes. But if God were to legitimately say to you, ask me for one thing and I'll give it to you, what would it be? Some of us might be a little covetous. Say, well, I want that new car that I've always wanted or that new gadget or whatever it is. I'd like a raise at the job or more money. Probably, if the genie said, what do you want? When he asked for money, it's not $100. It's $1 million. That just shows our inner greed. Maybe we'd be more noble and say, well, I want to be a better father or a better husband or wife. I'd like to this or that. Maybe something noble along that line. You know, God came to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3 and said, ask what you will and I will give it to you. And Solomon asked for, you know the answer, so there's no build up here. He asked for an understanding heart. Of all the things in the world he could have asked for, he asked for an understanding heart. And God was so impressed with his request. God said, you didn't ask for honor. You didn't ask for riches. You asked for an understanding heart. I will give you a wise and understanding heart. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon's burden is to pass that wisdom onto his son. And in turn, in the book of Proverbs, that wisdom is passed on to you and I. I wonder if we could ask God of anything, would we ask him for wisdom? I think it's Proverbs 9:6 that says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom and understanding is not knowledge, it's not the accumulation of facts, but it's know how to apply the facts. How to practically use what you know. We all need help with that. How to practically apply what we already know. We got it up here. But it's a matter of an understanding heart and doing the right thing and doing what we know is to be right. And that's a struggle all of us get. So Solomon wants to pass on that wisdom to his son. We saw in chapter 1, we saw wisdom's plea. Chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. Verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Wisdom is crying out. It wants us. It's personified in Proverbs. Wisdom wants us to desire it. Wisdom wants us to long for it. Wisdom wants us to pray for it, to seek it. It's crying without in the marketplace. We saw that in the meeting place, in the metropolis. It's crying out and it wants it. We saw wisdom's plea. In chapter 2, we saw wisdom's protection. Verse 9 says, discretion shall preserve thee. Chapter 2, verse 9. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Wisdom protects us. It protects us from a lot of the mistakes that are made in the world. A lot of the mistakes that are made in society. Wisdom is doing the right thing at the right time. Making the right decisions. Again, we can accumulate the facts, but we've got to use those facts to make the right decisions. If I can, I'll give you a frivolous example of this, okay? Just in my own. I'm standing at the counter at Wendy's on Thursday, and I'm looking at the menu. Wisdom tells me, eat something healthy. Wisdom tells me I have certain issues with blood sugar and certain issues with liver and certain issues with weight, that there's what I should order right there. All right, but my flesh is telling me, boy, that would taste good. Boy, that would be good. Boy, that Coca-Cola, don't you really love that? Now, it's not sinful to choose one or the other. Tucker, the kids are downstairs if you want to go. Or Hunter, excuse me. It's not sinful to choose one, but practical wisdom for, in that case, for me myself. What am I going to do? I have the information. I know all the facts. I know what's good and bad. What are we going to do with them? Wisdom, can I say this? Wisdom is not just in these big, enormous decisions we make in life. Wisdom is something we should seek in every decision we make. Because, as we said before, somebody said, don't sweat the small things, and that's bad advice. Because the small things build up to the big things. So we should, in this area, in wisdom, we should seek wisdom in the small things, because that will protect us from the big things. So in chapter 2, he's talking about the protection of wisdom. He says in verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. In verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman. Wisdom protects us. Now I use the example of food and health. But to the drug addict, making the right decision, making the wise decision, protects them. To the alcoholic addicted, to the pornography addicted, to whatever it might be, wisdom can protect them. Not just the knowledge, this is good or this is bad, but having praying God to give that wisdom to give them the strength they need. So wisdom's plea, wisdom's protection. Then this morning we get to Proverbs chapter 3. Now can you tell we're not in a hurry today? Proverbs chapter 3, and that's wisdom's path. Proverbs 3 and verse 6, you know this, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Wisdom's path this morning. We're going to see three things about the path. The first one's on the front of the page, and that is that wisdom is a pleasant path. That's in verse 1 to 20. Then on the back you'll see wisdom is a peaceful path. And wisdom is a positive path. These three things are explained to us. Actually, this path is going to take us from chapter 3 to chapter 5. Proverbs 3 to 5 are all about wisdom's path. And so, chapter 3 this morning, it is a pleasant path. Why is it a pleasant path? Well, because when we make the unwise decision, can we call that the foolish decision? When we make the unwise decision, it affects our walk. It affects our path. And so wisdom gives us a good path, because foolishness, without a doubt, gives us an unpleasant or a troublesome path, a problematic path. So that's why wisdom is so important. And yet it is so neglected, as we saw in Proverbs chapter 1. All right, wisdom's path. It is a pleasant path. Letter A, wisdom brings promise. In verse 1 to 4, wisdom brings promise. My son, Solomon says, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. Wisdom, I just read chapter 2. Good for me. Now let's go to chapter 3. I knew something didn't sound right. The first two words were the same. That's what led me off. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, there's the promise, length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Wisdom brings a promise. Notice in these four verses, first of all, verse 1 and 3, number 1, give us the commands. Verse 1 and 3, my son, forget not my law. That's the command. But let thine heart keep my commandments. That's a command. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. That's a command. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Solomon gives to his young son some commands. I like that. Now again, this is Solomon speaking. He says at the beginning of chapter 3, verse 1, my son. So this is Solomon writing to his son. He says that again down in verse number 11, my son. Down in verse number 21, my son. In fact, 23 times in Proverbs, Solomon says, uses those words, my son. So this is a letter from a father to a son, and he says, keep my commandments. We had it, I forget when it was, the 70s or something. I don't know if they do it now. It was the year of the child. And I laughed. What year is not the year of the child? Every year is the year of the child. And we live in a day and an age where children's rights are trumping everything else. And now you're not supposed to say certain things to your children or do certain things like spanking to your children and the rights of children, and what has that produced in our society? But a bunch of spoiled brats. Now hopefully not our families, because we have kept the biblical principles of child discipline and child correction. But we live in a society where, you know, you watch the TV shows and the kids are smarter than the buffoon parents are. And that's just the trend of our day. Solomon said, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. All right, the father's instruction, the mother's instruction, is to be obeyed by the children. I know that doesn't sound socially acceptable in our day, but that's just, mom and dad are the law of the house, the law of the land. I've said this before with my kids. My house, my rules. You do what you want. You don't want the rules of this house? Go live on your own. See how you handle that. Go rent your own apartment. Pay your own payments. Do all that stuff if you think you've got it all figured out. Solomon said, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. He said in verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. You know, we read in the Old Testament, especially about Deuteronomy, that the Old Testament Jews were to take scripture and post it everywhere. The doorposts of their houses, they walked out the front door, the two doorposts had scripture on them. They wore phylacteries, which were little kind of necklaces that had a little Bible verse and a law of Moses around them on their necks. In their pockets, they would have little cards or something with Bible verses written on. And Solomon's saying, this is what I want you to do, son. I want you to have my law. I want you to that bound around your neck. Not talking about being bound like it's shackles, but that he would not forget the commandments and the teachings of his father. He says, bind them about thy neck. That's what we try to do with scripture memorization. That's a good thing to do. Stick it in your car, put it on your refrigerator, put it everywhere you go. We don't necessarily wear them around our neck or things like that. Have them on a 3x5 card in your pocket. But memorize scripture, learn the Bible, have the commandments of God. When you read something in your Bible that really stands out to you, write the thing down. Carry it around with you. That's what Solomon's telling his son to do. He's commanding him. Commanding him to keep the commandments of his father. So verse 1 and 3 are the commands of the promise. Then here's the promise, number 2, the compensation. To keep with our outline, we'll call the promise the compensation. What is the compensation? Well, verse 2 and 4. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That's the promise. Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. The compensation for keeping his father's commandments, the Bible said, would be length of days and long life and peace. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2 about the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. In Ephesians 6, 2 it says, honor thy father and thy mother, for this is the first commandment with promise. Honor thy father and mother. That's what Solomon's telling his son. Keep my commandments. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the tables of your heart. Not just on little 3x5 cards, not just on the phylacteries, but write them on the tables of thine heart. Because length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. The wisdom of a wise father, Solomon, passing it on to his son. In Proverbs, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. The wisdom of the father passed on to the son. For length of days, long life and peace shall they add to thee. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 is where we first find that fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. And it says, that thy days may be long upon the land. So the promise of God, as Solomon applies that to his son, son, do what I tell you and it will protect you. It will guide your paths. Wisdom will give you what you need if you obey what the Father is teaching you to do. That is a great rule. Now, it is a general rule. It's not a 100% perfect promise. It's a general rule that if we teach our children to respect the authority of their parents, they will learn to respect authority overall. When we teach them to respect the rule at home, taught what to do and what not to do, what to say and what not to say, what to watch and what not to watch, all these different kinds. As they submit themselves to rules and regulations at home, they will submit themselves once they get out the door. The reason we have so many problems in our society is because there's not that passing on of wisdom from one generation down to the next. There's not that instruction and that teaching. And so here Solomon says, you keep my commandments, you bound them about your neck, you write them on the tables of your heart. And he says, and length of days and long life and peace shall it add to thee. Those that get off into the ravages of sin often find life shortened. Notice it says this, length of days and long life. That's not repetition, that's two different things. Length of days, that's talking about the quality of life. And then long life is the duration of life. And when we respect authority and honor authority and submit to authority and we learn to do that from a young age, we raise that way, it keeps us, it protects us, it guides our path and keeps us so that we don't die a young death from disease, from drugs, from alcoholism, from lung cancer. Now again, it's not a guarantee. People get cancer, they live a healthy life, and they get cancer and they die at 57 years old, something like that. That still happens. But the overall general rule is simply this. If we let wisdom guide us in our decision making, it will give us length of days and long life and peace. Boy, there's that thing we all want, peace. Not having to worry about things when we're walking in the law of God. So if we follow the promises, if we forget not my law, and let thine heart keep my commandments, and let not mercy and truth forsake thee, if we do those things, we're more likely to have a long life. More likely. So letter A, it's a pleasant path. It brings promise, verse 1 to 4. Then letter B, verse 5 to 12, and also verse 16, wisdom brings protection. We've talked about this already. Wisdom brings protection. It says at the end of verse 6, and he shall direct thy paths. You and I want God to give us direction, to direct our paths. Because when God directs our paths, they are paths of peace. They are paths of pleasantness. When God doesn't direct our paths, it's troublesome. It's unpleasant. Again, look at our world. Look at our society. Look at those that struggle through life. I'm not talking about struggling financially necessarily or struggling, but just struggling at life. There's a good life in keeping the commands of God. There's a good life in following the wisdom of the Word of God. It keeps us from the wrong paths. Notice, here we go. Wisdom brings protection. He shall direct thy paths. Number one, it brings protection in our paths. P-A-T-H-S. It brings direction in our paths. Verse 5 and 6. You know these verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know what the key to those two verses is? The first word. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I like the song that the Rogers sing. Hopefully they'll sing it when they're here. When you can't see his hand, trust his heart. Someone attributed that, I saw this just the other day, attributed that to Charles Spurgeon. I don't know if he was the originator of that statement or not. But the Rogers sing the song, when you can't see his hand, trust his heart. Job had a problem. He looked around about what was happening to him. He lost his sons and his daughters. He lost his houses and his lands. He lost his cattle and his donkey. He lost everything that he had. And then he was smitten with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. So bad that he took pottery, broken pottery, and scraped himself with that because of the pain and the agony that he was going through for those 7 days. And he sat there and he wondered, God, why? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? Why are you doing this to me? He couldn't see God's hand. He didn't know what was going on. And so what we say is, when you can't see his hand, trust his heart. He's a loving Heavenly Father. He would never do anything to harm us. So Job, there must be a reason. You know what Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I, what? Trust in him. Things happen in our life. We can't see the direction. We can't see the path. Now again, sometimes things happen to our life because they're self-inflicted. All right? We're not wise. We make the wrong decision. It comes back upon us, and then we scream and yell and holler because we reap what we sowed. Well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about Job, who was an upright man, just one that feared God and eschewed, hated evil. He hadn't done anything wrong. And yet this thing came upon him and happened to him. But he said, though he slay me, if this is my end, if this is where I'm going to die like this, I will still trust in him. Job could see his heart when he couldn't see his hand. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. It's not about you. There's a song that says it. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about him. But too many times we make it about us. We make it about me. I make it about I. Turn, if you would, to the book, a couple books back. Look at Job. Job chapter 39. Job makes it either 8 or 9 speeches in the book of Job. Again, each of his friends criticizes Job and says that the reason he's in boils is because of some wickedness that he's done. That though he appeared righteous on the outside, God knew his heart and God was chastised. And after each one of those three friends, 3 different times, after each one of them condemns Job, Job defends himself. Well, his last speech begins, where are we at? Job. Oh. Did I say 29? Okay, 29 is where I want you to be. I said 39. Job 29. Job's last speech begins in Job chapter 26. Now we're going to look at 29, but I just want you to know, in chapter 26 and verse 1, but Job answered and said. And so Job makes his last speech. It's three or four chapters long, beginning in chapter 6. Notice in chapter 27, moreover, Job continued his parable and said. And if you would, just look for a minute at verse 27, or chapter 27. Notice verse 2, and as God liveth. Verse 3, the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. Verse 5, God forbid that I should justify you. The end of verse 8, when God taketh away his soul. Verse 9, when God, will God hear his cry? Verse 11, the Almighty, God. Verse 11, the Almighty. Verse 13, the Almighty. Notice where Job is putting the emphasis. Verse 22, for God shall cast upon him and not spare. Job is giving his speech. He's giving credit and honor to God. He's acknowledging him. Everything's okay. Chapter 29, it says, moreover, Job continued. Now, can I say this? Proverbs 10:19 says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. I would contend that Job should have stopped at the end of chapter 28 and verse 18 And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Job should have stopped right there. That should have been the last thing he said. Giving honor to God and glory to God and direction to God. But in chapter 9, and sometimes you just hold your Bible, look at the word I in chapter 29. As you held the Bible out from me chapter 27, you see the word God over and over and over again. But when you hold it out and just kind of glance at it, you know what you see? You see the pronoun I. In fact, in Job chapter 29, Job refers to himself, I, 20 times. In chapter 30, he says it calls himself I 15 times. In chapter 31, 26 times. Job's focus got askew. He's doing great. He's giving God the glory and giving God the credit. But then the last three chapters of his speech, it was all about I and me and mine. In fact, the word my is in there in chapter 29. I've got this written down in my Bible. The word my in chapter 29 is 14 times. Chapter 30, it's 25 times. Chapter 31 is 13 times. Excuse me, that's the word me. And then my, 18, 22, and 32. 134 times in three chapters, Job says, I, my, me. And at the end of chapter 32, the Lord says, who's this that wearies me with his words? In all thy ways acknowledge him. We try to direct our paths. We try to have our own understanding. But in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Now, that's not just saying lay back and do nothing and let God do everything. But it's saying look for His direction and follow His direction. Because His direction is a pleasant path. Our direction is a problematic path. Which one are we going to follow? Wisdom brings protection in verse 5 and 6 in our past. Then number 2, wisdom brings protection in our possessions. Verse 7 to 12. When we trust Him, the Lord takes care of all aspects of our life. Sometimes folks think, well, the Lord's interested in my spiritual side, but not my financial side or my emotional side or my intellectual side. No, God's interested in all of us, our entire being. And we're supposed to let Him direct our paths. He says in verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It, not being wise in thine own eyes, departing from evil, it shall be health to thy navel. And marrow to thy bones. Length of days, we read again, is in her right hand. This is the blessings, the pleasant path of wisdom in our possessions. Small letter A, in our health. In our health. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel. Again, we're not going to attribute cancer or even a heart attack to unwise decisions. Though, I remember a fellow down in North Carolina many, many years ago, and he had a heart problem. And this is North Carolina. People in North Carolina are Southerners, and they eat like Southerners. And here's this fellow, and he's got a heart problem. He's had a heart attack before, and he sits down to breakfast, and it is biscuits and gravy. Nice, big, thick, heavy gravy. On a man with a heart problem. Sometimes our health problems are related to unwise decisions. And he later died of a heart attack. Now, I'm not saying it was from that specific thing, but sometimes our decisions do affect our health. But here is simply saying this, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel. Isn't that an unusual analogy? Health to thy navel. Why? Well, navel's where life begins, isn't it? When you and I were born, everybody here was born from the umbilical cord of their mother, without exception. I'm pretty sure I've never heard of any exception to that rule. Man has not made life out of a petri dish. Every person that's born has been born from their mother, and the umbilical cord from the navel has been cut. That's what brings us into life. And really, that is the bowels is what the Bible calls it in other places. And that is really the center of our being. You can sustain a wound on the arm or the leg or something, but a gut shot, that's pretty well going to do you in. And he's saying that wisdom will prevent you from that gut shot. Wisdom will prevent you from taking that fatal blow. So he says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel. Wisdom will protect our health. You see, those that are in bad health condition, and again, sometimes it's genetic. You know, you can't just write a general rule for everything all the time. But many times it's because of unwise decisions. We try to teach and train. We've got a little girl right in our house right now that when we sit down for dinner, the other night it was roast and potatoes that you cook in with the roast. You know, you ladies know how that's done. In the crock pot, you make the roast with the potatoes in it and the carrots in it. And then there's homemade bread. That was the other thing. So we sit down to supper, and one of the girls, and I won't rat them out, but one of the girls sat down and said, can I have seconds? Sonia said, sure. You want more meat? No. You want more carrots? No. What do you want? Potatoes? Bread? Now again, I know I'm on this health kick right now, but you know what that's leading toward down the line? That's leading to health problems. When we desire the things that are not as healthy as the other things are, and we live in a society, go into Circle K and watch the food that goes out of there. Watch the things that, you know, I'm not for legislating it and taking, you know, 44-ounce Cokes and pop out of the things like that. But we need to make wise decisions regarding our health. Now that, again, it's a very practical application, but that's what wisdom's all about. Sweating the little things. Watching the small things, not trusting in our own self, but following that which is right. All right, our possessions, our health will be benefited when we trust in the Lord and seek after wisdom. But not only our health, small letter B, and this will probably be where we have to stop this morning, our wealth. Our health and our wealth. Wisdom affects every aspect of our life. Verse number 9 and 10, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Honor the Lord with thy substance. The Bible calls that tithing. Simply this, giving back to God. You know, Malachi said, the children of Israel, God said to Israel, he said, you've robbed me. And the children of Israel said, wherein have we robbed thee? And the Lord said, in tithes and in offerings. Again, can I make a very practical application? I'm in my office and the phone rings regularly. And without exception, I pick up that phone on a regular basis. I pick up that phone and it's someone around here in the area that says, we need help with our water bill, our electric bill, our rent payment. We need help with food. We need help with diapers for the kids, medicine for my husband. You name it, whatever it is. We need help. We need help. We need help. And as a church, we are compassionate. We try to help, especially of our own, help anywhere we can. But you know what the sad thing is? Here are people that do not, what did it say? Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. These are folks that don't think about God twice. They don't give anything to God. Most of them don't even go to church. But then when they get in financial troubles, they're going through the phone book and looking up every church they can find and calling them. You say, what's the problem? Well, they're not honoring the Lord. And when we don't honor the Lord's not going to honor us. It's like this. If we are faithful in giving to God, God is faithful in giving to us. That doesn't mean we're going to be wealthy. That doesn't mean we're going to be rich. But it means my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So when we seek after wisdom, which makes us make the right decisions and do the right things, we honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Again, here's Sunday morning. Many of us got paid this week, Monday, Friday, whatever it was. And so this morning we come in and we give God the first fruits. We give him the first 10% before we pay the electric bill and the house bill and all those other things and the insurance and all those things that mount up. We make sure that we give God that first 10%. We honor him so that he can honor us. So the Bible says that when we do that, we are protected. We have a pleasant path in our health and in our wealth. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Verse 16 says, and in her left hand, riches and honor. So in our possessions, he protects us in our health and in our wealth. All right, we'll have to pick up next week with number 3 because we've run out of time. Father, thank you for your word. God, again, the Bible is not just some mystic, mysterious book. It's not just a bunch of old sayings and slogans written down by a bunch of dead Jews. Father, all scripture was given by inspiration of God and is profitable, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Father, we're thankful for your word. For these few verses we've looked at in Proverbs chapter 3, that Father really open up the key of life and the key of living to us in 2018, though they were written thousands of years ago. Help us, Father, to take the Proverbs of the wisest man that ever lived, to whom you gave that wisdom and an understanding heart, and apply them to our path, that God, we might walk in a pleasant path. Bless those that come to join us this morning. Bless our service in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a short break and we'll begin our morning service.